am weak, but he is strong. Let's turn to Matthew again. Again to the book of Matthew, and let's look at chapter 13. I'm going to wrap up my series that I started 5 lessons ago, and this will be their 6th, on the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. Lord willing, I've asked our brother Mike if he'd be willing to come back and do some Bible studies for a few weeks. And we'll just pray on how the Lord leads us from there. And he said he is willing, so Lord willing, keep him in our prayers as he prepares to pick up his studies. I believe we continue in Exodus. Yeah. So keep him in our prayers as he goes ahead and prepares to continue in that. Our studies in this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, has brought us to Matthew 13, where we will look at a parable. But first, let's understand what a parable is and why our Lord spoke in parables. The word parable, as our pastor pointed out in one of his recent messages, comes from the same root word that we get the word proverb from. It means a placing beside. In other words, a parallel phrase or a saying. It's telling a story, whether fictitious or true, that illustrates your point. And as to why our Lord spoke in parables, I'd like you to look at verse 10 of chapter 13. Let's let our Lord answer that reason. In verse 10 of chapter 13, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Notice, it is given. It's not that some have in some way become smart enough to understand, but that's what the churches of today will preach to you. That's what they'll tell you. If you could just turn yourself around and exercise your free will, you can become one of God's children also. If you'll just stop doing the dumb things that you've done all this time and get smart. It's a self-help thing. Has nothing to do with the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture says it is given. God gives revelation to his people. It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In Matthew, you don't need to turn there, but Matthew 16:17, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him," speaking of Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." The man standing in the pulpit hasn't revealed anything unto you. How do you know that he is the Son of the living God? "But my Father, which is in heaven." That's what God's Word says. Did Peter get smarter? Did he become smarter by reading the Word of God and all of a sudden just figure things out? No. Our Lord says, God the Father revealed it to him. In Luke 10:21, it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Our Lord has a reason for speaking in parables to those. There's some that he doesn't want to reveal himself to. And then there are those that he has loved from before the world began.
Amen.
There are those. There are those. Those that he has chosen to have mercy upon. Those that he has chosen to reveal himself, "even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven cannot be seen by blind people. A dead person doesn't see anything except for maybe a dark box. No, not even that. They're dead. They can't see nothing. Only one who has been given a new heart, born again, as Scripture calls it, can see the kingdom of heaven. Remember our first study that we looked at how the kingdom of heaven was Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, is what John the Baptist was sent out and preaching. He was declaring before all the people. He was making the way for the Lord. Even Christ himself, it is said, preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is not a place in those verses. It's talking about Christ himself. For wherever Christ is, that is heaven. Christ is heaven. Without Christ, there is no heaven. I don't want to be anywhere where the Son of God is not. So as we read these parables that we're going to start with in verse 24, remember, the kingdom of heaven is not spoken of here as a place that we were going to go to at the end, although we will. It's speaking about something specific. Our God is wanting to reveal something to his people. And I pray that you might have an understanding. And if you do, our Lord says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard." Oh, what mercy our Lord has for his loved ones. So now let us turn to verse 20, beginning in, or 24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence, when hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. Continuing in verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Again, we see another parable spake he unto them in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. We notice that each of the parables likens the kingdom of heaven unto a person or a thing. In first, the man which sowed a good seed. Second, a mustard seed. And third, leaven. Now, leaven is simply, it means a piece of dough that had been salted and soured so as to rise, or to grow, as it were. We add yeast to do the same thing today. Now, next, our Lord inspires Matthew to explain once again why he speaks in parables. All these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare ye unto this the parable of the tares of the field. These things that were kept secret from the foundation of the world are the things pertaining to the gospel. The gospel truths, the gospel age had now begun. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel, our Lord says. Yet though we preach these truths, only those that were chosen in Christ shall be given ears to hear. Only those that he went to the cross for will hear the truths that are revealed through this, to the preaching of the gospel. And to confirm that very statement, we read in that verse 36, notice here it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away. Why didn't he explain the whole thing to everybody? Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. Because he's God and he's right to do so. He'd be right if he took the whole field of wheat and burned it and got rid of it. Yet because he has loved us, because he has loved a people of his own, he chose those people. He protects them. And he keeps them. And he will keep them till the end. Our brother Don and I were just speaking a little bit ago about we know that he's in God's hands. This body is not going to go to heaven with us. We're going to lose it. It's going to turn to dust. Blood and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that right, Don? It's got to go. But God will keep you until the end, which is never, always, forever, eternity. He'll never let you go. He'll never let any of his people go. Now, as to the explanation of these parables, it would be best to have our Lord explain them for us. Verse 37. And he, our Lord Jesus, answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that we're not a tear? The Son of Man shall send forth angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. As for verse 44, which I'll read now, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now I want to share with you a thought, and that's all this is. A thought of what first came to my mind when I read that verse. Does not all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Christ Jesus the Lord?
Yes.
When we see this man who selleth all that he has, could that not be speaking of God who gave his only begotten Son? He, God, gave everything he had. Is not the only begotten Son all things to God? He gave his Son to purchase the treasure. He purchased it with his own blood. And I too must say, as Don Fortner stated in his commentary about this, that this is only my opinion. For our Lord does not go into detail as he did the parable before on these remaining parables. Not as far as Don Fortner has found anyway. So let's continue in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when then he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst us, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. May I read an excerpt from Don's book on this very section of Scripture? Once again, he puts it better than I could in any way, and then I'll close with a few thoughts of my own. Pastor Fortner writes, throughout these parables, our Lord repeatedly stresses this very point. There are good hearers and bad hearers. Tares and wheat. Good fish and bad fish. Why? He means for us to understand that there is no perfect church, no perfect body of believers in this world. Nay, in fact, if we try to make that church, our church, perfect and pure by separating the bad from the good, then we will both be disobedient to our master and instruments of great harm to his people. We must never be satisfied with an outward profession of faith, an outward church membership. You may be in the net and yet not be in Christ. Multitudes have been buried in the waters of baptism who have never been crucified with Christ. Thousands around the world regularly eat and drink the bread of wine of the Lord's Supper who never feed upon Christ by faith. The true character of every person's religion will soon be revealed. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever wicked from amongst us, from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When the Lord God draws the net to shore, he will gather the good and throw away the bad. There will be an eternal separation between the wicked and the just. There is a heaven for the just and a furnace for fire for the wicked. Richard Baxter wrote it this way: these plain words need more belief and consideration than exposition. Have you bought the pearl of great price? Are you in Christ? End of quote. Now I know that there is much, 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 much more that a man who is probably more learned could teach and preach from in these very verses that we've read. In fact, this whole study, to be quite honest with you, I come very short of anyone who could do it properly. But I give you what the Lord has given me. I know this. I know that God is merciful to his people. I know that Christ Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. However he builds it, he is right. And as far as I'm concerned, if he allows tares to rise up along with the wheat, then it is for the wheat's good. Allow me to read a verse from the men's reading this morning. Russ read in Psalms 33, verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right." Does he not have a right to do what he wants?
Yes.
Has he not promised that all things are for the good of his people?
Yes.
"For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." God gave everything he had to save me. If he did not withhold his own son, how shall he not give me everything? What have I to fear? He will not lose me. He's God. He will not lose you. If you're God's child, and he declares that he has loved you from the eternity past, as God, do you think he would ever let you go? Would he ever let anything hurt you physically? What does it matter? It's going to go away anyway. Everything's going to be burned up. Our souls are his forever. I have peace knowing that he sits on his throne in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and rules over everything.
Amen.
I want to thank you for allowing me to bring these studies before you. May God be pleased to bless you.
Pastor?